Israel has already saber-rattled, you do A, B, and C, we will destroy Damascus. If Israel goes up and destroys Damascus, all hell's going to break loose. Are you kidding me? But we're in the days of chaos.
We are seeing an unparalleled escalation in the Middle East. Israel has been in active war since the October 7th, 2023 attack, and the chaos has spread to neighboring nations. Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, and others are on high alert as the whole region seems to be on the brink of World War III. I talked with L.A. Marzulli on November 10th, 2023, about what he felt God was prophetically pointing to in the coming year. Since then, we have seen the war only intensify, and we have seen glimpses of his prediction about the destruction of Damascus as prophesied in Isaiah 17 and Jeremiah 49 appear to be unfolding right before our eyes. We connected again on May 1st and October 4th, 2024, to get an updated prophetic pulse on what to look for in the current days of chaos. Here's what he had to say.
That word, no flesh, no sin, no death, no sting, hail to the king, hail to the king. I've been raptured. I'm in a glorified body. There's no sin. There's no flesh. Death is gone. I will never experience death. It's not there. Now, I don't know what that means. I can tell you what I think it might mean. I'm not like going, thus saith the Lord, we're about to be raptured next Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Not saying that. But it would not surprise me at all, given where we are, when you look at, look, the whole thing in the Middle East could just die down and that's it. On the other hand, everything in the Middle East could escalate like crazy, like crazy. We're seeing the anti-Semitism being ratcheted up in ways that I haven't seen. I mean, every anti-Semite is coming out of every rock, every crevice. It's unbelievable to see the hatred of God's people. And why is that there? It's there because Messiah came from their line and they hate Messiah. That's really what we're looking at here. So I think there's a possibility with when you look at the prophetic pulse of what's going on in the Middle East, the possibility of Psalm 83, the destruction of Damascus. You know, if Israel goes up and destroys Damascus, all hell's going to break loose. Are you kidding me? The people aren't just going to sit by. So now that leads to Ezekiel 38. There's not an Arab in the bunch. That's where Russia and Turkey and the Scythians come in. And that's Afghanistan and Kazakhstan and all, Uzbekistan. That's all coming in from the east. I mean, that they can't. The Israelis can't, you know, that's crazy. Turkey's got one of the largest standing armies in the area. They've got an air force. They are well-equipped. They've got boots on the ground. This isn't Hezbollah or Hamas. It's a whole different deal. And we know from Ezekiel 38 that God himself shows up. So this is different. But then you plug in the threat of nukes, which you got going between Ukraine and Russia. And then you plug in on top of that, the whole UFO thing, which is the game changer. And I did an interview, a couple of guys, both are, one in particular is a New Ager. The other guy isn't, but they're not Christian. They don't, and they were, after the interview, they said, L.A., what's your take on what's going on in the Middle East? And I told them the same thing I'm telling you. So it's interesting how a non-believer, knowing what we believe in the prophecies, when something happens over there, all of a sudden they're on the edge of their seat, you know, and listening very intently. And so at the end of my telling them what I believe was what might happen, educating them on Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, and the progression thereof. One of the guys said, well, this would be a really good time for E.T., the aliens, to show up and stop all this madness. And I said to him, I said, you, sir, just nailed it. You, sir, just told me exactly, you just reverberated, fed back to me what I've been warning against for 30 years. This is the coming great deception. And I realized that, you know, people go, and 30 years ago, you know, I was laughed at and, you know, that's never going to happen. And now we've got David Grush in Congress, which, by the way, is the 18th or the 17th rung. The 18th rung. Yeah, when Grush leans forward to the microphone, when Representative Mace goes, you know, did you retrieve biologics from these crashed UFOs? Yes, we retrieved biologics. And then she does the follow-up question. Were these biologics human or non-human? They were non-human. It's like, you know, what do you do with that? And that was, that interview was not picked up by any mainstream media. It wasn't. But Jaime Masson's interview with the goofy mummies was broadcast everywhere, viral, everywhere. And what that does is obfuscate the water. It muddies everything up. So what's the truth? You're not even sure what you're looking at. So, you know, the scenario could be Psalm 83, Israel expands her borders. Damascus is destroyed because the Iranians jump into the fray. Hezbollah is firing. Remember, if Hezbollah really decides to do this, they've got upwards of over 200,000 missiles. The Iron Dome can't get them all. And you're looking at, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 missiles an hour pouring into Israel. They can't stop them. So now we're looking at a full-fledged two-front war. You got Gaza and watch Hamas, you know, come back again and start up again once Hezbollah joins the fray. And if Hezbollah joins the fray and the Iranians get in, now we're looking at, oh my gosh, Syria is now involved. Syria already is involved. I mean, the sleeper cells, and which are Iran's proxies in both southern Lebanon and Syria, they're already doing stuff. They're already attacking stuff. So it's a question of, you know, is it going to escalate or is it going to stand down? Well, it's not. They're not going away. They're doing it every single day. So at some point, I think it's going to explode. I could be wrong. I don't know. That's why we watch and wait. But if Iran really starts going for it, or if Hezbollah starts firing rockets on Tel Aviv, they're going to go after Damascus. They've already told the Iranians, you do this, we're going to destroy Damascus. That's Isaiah 17. Damascus has become a ruinous heap. So then you've got Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, which leads to the Ezekiel 38 war. The question is, does the church go up before Ezekiel 38 war, or during or after? And we don't know. There's difference of opinions, so we don't know. So I just, combined with no flesh, no sin, no death, no sting, I just wonder. And I'm not a date setter, guys. I'm not saying, you know, I only say we're going to, the rapture is going to happen in June. I'm not saying that. I don't know. But part of me wonders, and it's my blessed hope, you know, can you imagine to be with the King? Hail to the King, hail to the King, where there's no flesh. You know, there's no sin in our lives anymore. The sin nature is gone. There's no death. We're never going to experience death ever. We're never going to grow old and just wither away and die of some sickness. There is no death. There's no sting of death. It's all gone because of the King. Hail to the King. Hail to the King. It's like, it's way better than any Lord of the Rings ending. You know, I mean, it's just like, it's reality. In fact, Tolkien took the whole deal from the Book of Revelation. I mean, that's in Scripture. That's where he got it from. He just pieced it all together and created a fictional story. But the King is Jesus, and he's coming back soon, and we might be going up soon.
Let's talk about what God is showing you in the Middle East and things that have been going on there.
Well, I mean, I think, in my opinion, the place to watch is the Middle East. Amos 9, 14 and 15 is a scripture that we all should be reading and understand. I will bring the captivity of my people back into the land, basically. They will inhabit the waste cities. They will plant vineyards and drink the wine. They will plant gardens and eat the fruit. And I'll never take them out of their land again. They'll never be pulled out of that land again. Thus saith the Lord. I mean, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but that's the gist of it. In 1948, that happened. And before that, we saw at the end of the 19th century, into the 20th century, we saw the beginnings of Israel coming back as a nation, Aliyah, however you pronounce it. My Hebrew is horrible. But, you know, they came back and they're there, never to be pushed out of their land again. And that's where we are. Everything hinges around the nation of Israel. If a person is an amillennialist who believes that there is no literal thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus and the church has inherited all the promises of Israel, then when we look at events like what we're seeing, they don't make any sense. Or people can't make any sense out of them. I am premillennial. I believe in a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus. By the way, it's in Jerusalem. It's not in Detroit. He rules from Jerusalem. And we might be looking at the beginnings of something which is very, very prophetic. Right now it's not, but it could be. Isaiah 17 talks about the destruction of Damascus. That's prophetic. That's Isaiah 17. Israel has already threatened the Iranians. You cross this line, we will destroy Damascus. So that's happening as we speak. Also, since the last time we talked, there's a picture that I have and I show to people that where I'm speaking and I'm unpacking days of chaos, as it were. And most people don't want to hear that. They want to hear a happy message. But we're in the days of chaos. I mean, I can elaborate on that, but that's where we are. That picture shows Vladimir Putin from Russia. Then it's got President Raisi from Iran. And then it's got President Erdogan from Turkey. Well, what's wrong with this picture? First of all, those three nations, Russia, Iran, and Turkey, those three nations comprise, those are the main leaders of the Ezekiel 38 prophecy. And for the first time in modernity that I'm aware of, those three guys are all on the same stage together. That's a huge deal. Does it mean we're looking at Ezekiel 38? Not necessarily. That's why cool heads have to prevail. You can't just into it. But I keep an eye on it. And the thing that I find really telling here is Erdogan is Sunni Muslim, and Raisi is the president of Iran, is Shia Muslim. They've been at loggerheads for 1,300 years, essentially. There's this vitriol between the two sects, and the Sunni Erdogan are the predominant. They're the majority in Islam. The Shia, which is what Iranians are the minority. And the fact that there's an ancient Middle Eastern saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, what's interesting about this is Israel is the common enemy. Every Friday night, and of course, you don't see any of this on our media, nothing. It's a complete blackout. But every Friday night in Iran, they get together, death to America, death to Israel. Why? Why are they saying this? There's a saying I coined on the book. It was right on the front cover, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. That book is out of print. We own the copyrights on it. I have not reprinted it. I could reprint it now, but what I really want to do is do a second edition. And I just haven't had the time. It's like, you know, it's a lot. No, just a tad, right? Five full-length DVDs last year, and I'm still plodding away on the rungs of a ladder of disclosure, getting closer, but they keep adding rungs, so I'll never finish the book. What can I tell you? You sent me one this morning. Thank you. So where was I? So the fact that the Shia and the Sunni branches of Islam are together on the stage with Vladimir Putin of Russia is very telling. Those are the three leading nations in the Ezekiel 38 prophecy. So I just find that really interesting. Right now, as we speak, and it's a media blackout here, the IDF has already gone into Rafah. They're already there, and it's already happening. They will destroy Hamas, and they have to. So, you know, meanwhile, it's genocide. Oh, it says it's that. The genocide happened on October 7th, when unarmed people and civilians were butchered in the most heinous of ways. That's the genocide. So, you know, people go, well, you know, a lot of people have been killed and Hamas and everything else. Well, when you're at war, that's what happens. You can make a case that, well, we dropped the atom bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Hundreds of thousands of people, innocent people, were killed. I'm not rooting for that. I'm gonna make it really clear. I'm not celebrating that. I'm not rooting for that. But when you're at war and you clear a section in Gaza, and you leave that section figuring it's okay, and Hamas sneaks back in and starts lobbing missiles and mortars across the border to Israel again, what are you supposed to do with that? Do you think for a minute, if you lived in, let's say, Texas or any of the other border states, and Mexico, the cartels were firing missiles into Texas, do you think anybody would tolerate that for a minute? But somehow in Israel, oh, well, you know, it's genocide, that the fact that they're pushing back and fighting back. And then you got these Looney Tunes 20-year-olds over here in my neck of the woods at UCLA, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. No idea of history, no idea about the entire Middle East as we know it today. Used to be under the control of the Ottoman Empire, which is Turkey. And all that was dismantled in World War I at the end of World War I, 1917, with the Balfour Declaration already in place. And the modern nations of Iraq, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Israel were created. Palestine were created. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. So if you're going to give back, you know, all the land and kick the Jews out of there, then let's give it all back to Turkey. But see, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. So unfortunately, the kids don't know their history, and you know they've been lied to, and that's a three-hour conversation. It's mostly in academia. It's all liberalism, liberal professors, and this is what you get.
LA, we've talked in the past, and I'm going to put a link to this video in the description here. I always like to get the, what is God saying to you about this coming year? And I did that with a lot of people, and our interview has gotten a lot of attention because of something that you mentioned about Damascus being attacked and destroyed. And we've actually seen some of this actually come about. What's your take on that so far?
Well, I'm still waiting. I mean, you know, Isaiah 17 is Damascus has become a ruinous heap in a moment, in a flash. Israel has already saber-rattled, you do A, B, and C, we will destroy Damascus. The suburbs around Damascus are already a ruinous heap. I mean, I've got footage of this from Russian drones flying over. Right. It's a wasteland. I mean, it really is. And it hasn't been rebuilt. And Israel has been striking the Damascus airport. So we know that. So, I mean, they're not messing around here, but that has not yet been fulfilled. This is why, you know, we look at these things and we wait, we watch, you know, watch like a hawk. I mean, I check it 2 to 3 times a day, different websites to see what's happening, because you're not getting any news here from our media outlets. I mean, it's basically, it's a blackout, you know, so you got to go the Times of India, Raptor News, I-24, Jerusalem Post. Then I go to the Turkish newspaper, Sabah, and look at that. And I just go all around from, you know, places outside, like the Times of India. I mean, you know, who goes to the Times of India? But yeah, they'll report stories and incidents which we don't get. We don't hear word one of, like the meat grinder in Ukraine. There's a section in that whole Ukraine-Russian war. It's called the meat grinder. So you send your 21-year-old kid in, and he's basically ground up like hamburger meat. It's a death zone. Over 1 million people have died in that ridiculous war between Russia and Ukraine. And here's something to think about. And what I am watching is the Ezekiel 38 passage, which talks about the Lord putting a hook in Gog, Magog, Russia, in my opinion. People will disagree on that, fine. Believe what you want to believe, and draw Gog down into this conflict.
Yeah.
And I have wondered about this forever. And I think we are in the window of time where Russia really doesn't want to get involved in this. They're up to their eyeballs with the whole conflict in Ukraine. And yet, if what I just said a few minutes ago is true, that Israel struck a Russian outpost in Syria, and Russia and Iran are linked together, make no mistake about it, there's that hook in the jaw. Iran acts like the hook and brings Russia into the fray. Conjecture at this point, but it's based on the prophecy, I will put a hook in your jaw and draw you down, which means Russia really doesn't want to get involved in this. I had never understood this before. Now I get it, because they're up to their eyeballs with Ukraine. They don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And Putin is like, he's sort of on political, you know, ground, which is shifting like crazy.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, he really doesn't want to do this. There's that hook in the jaw. So that's why I'm looking at this. I'm expectant. I think that Iran acts like that hook and brings Russia down into the fray. If Turkey joins in, and they go up against a land of unwalled villages. And again, there's some great researchers who take issue with this and say Israel is not a land of unwalled villages. I take the opposite side. I've been to Israel. Yeah. Israel is a land of unwalled villages. Yes, there's a wall to keep out the suicide bombers. I get that. I totally get that. But I've been all over Israel, and it's a land of unwalled villages, which in antiquity, would you just didn't live that way. You know, you lived in walled cities because your enemies would come in, and if that wall's not there, they can just run rampant, kill you, take your wife and kids as hostages, and, you know, rape your wife and take the kids as slaves, and on and on it goes. But the Israel is, and it's in a false safety because it's a false peace, which is exactly what we see. Mm-hmm. And I think Israel is a land of unwalled villages, which, remember, when Ezekiel is writing this, that's unheard of. A land of unwalled villages? No one in the ancient world lived that way. But here's the deal. With the advent of the airplane, you can build the biggest wall you want. We'll just fly over it.
Exactly.
So that's why, you know, it's a land of unwalled villages today.